This presentation is supposed to run, as Pastor Gene said, about 20 minutes of presentation and then about 30 minutes for questions. So the sooner we get started, those of you that have a roast in the oven won't have to worry about having charcoal when you get back. I do want to take this opportunity to welcome you all to this special portion of today. This was something that was scheduled to help you understand what we've been going through. As I know many people have said to me, my goodness, it's been a long time. What are you folks doing? And part of the problem is it's not always easy to explain what we're doing because sometimes it's been such a drawn-out process, and other times, because of confidentiality reasons, we can't tell you even though we know. So what we're trying to do this morning is to give you a little bit of our perspective so that hopefully you'll now have some understanding of what we're doing, because really perspective is so important. It reminds me kind of a story. There was a very older man who the Lord had blessed and was very, very wealthy. And so every night he would have his devotions and he would pray and speak with the Lord and thank him for all of the great wealth and riches that he had allowed him to accumulate during his life. And one of the nights the Lord said to him, your time is almost coming. You have a lot that I've given you. Please put it in order. And so he said, sure, I'll be happy to do that. But he said, you know, you've just been so good to me. I just want to be able to show my appreciation by bringing something with me when I come. And the Lord said, no. You don't understand. That's not what you do. When you come up, everything that you need is here. And he was troubled. So every night when he prayed, he kept asking, saying to the Lord, look, please, just give me this opportunity. And so the Lord finally one night said to him, fine, okay, get ready because Friday is the day. So the fellow liquidated a lot of his assets, got two huge trunks, filled them with big blocks of gold bullion and bars, and put them by his bed so he'd be ready to bring them with him when it was time to go. And so sure enough, the time came, and he went, and he picked up these two bags, and he lugged them all the way up to heaven. And when he was there, of course, Peter's at the gates, and said to him, what are you doing? You're not supposed to bring anything with you when you come. And he said, no, it's okay. I've spoken to the Lord, and I've gotten special permission to bring this stuff with me. So Peter kind of scratched his head and said, you know, I'm really curious. This has never happened before. Can I see what you've got? So he very proudly opened up the suitcases and showed him what was in there. And Peter looked at him and said, you've brought pavement? It's all a matter of perspective, folks. So hopefully by the time we're done today, you'll have some understanding of what we've gone through and what we've done. So we held our first meeting on March 16th, 2016, when we started an elected officers, or, you know, a chairman and a vice chairman and a clerk. And we started and went through this whole process to try and figure out how to do this, because we basically came with no background. We hadn't really done this before, and there were a few people that had some involvement with it, but it had been a long time. So what we were able to do was we educated ourselves through reading materials and meeting with others who were more familiar with the selection process than we were, so we could get the benefit of their expertise. We also were able to determine our own three-phase process to follow in the search for a new senior pastor. We determined the minimum requirements for applicants so that we wouldn't just get anybody and everybody, but try to see if we could at least limit that to people that we felt would have the basics needed to qualify. We prepared and posted the necessary information about our church, the forms to be submitted, and told them about the additional information that be required. And then we evaluated those applicants and the materials they provided for our consideration. So this afternoon, we hope to give you a snapshot of our process and how we have arrived at where we are at this stage of the game. We hope that our time together today will help you better understand what has transpired to date. So let's open, please, with a word of prayer, and then we'll get rolling here. Father, we are so thankful for your faithfulness to West Church and to us as a committee. We are thankful for your guidance throughout this entire process. We know that you love West Church and that you love us individually, and we know that you want what is the best for us as a church. So we just thank you for being with us through the entire process, and we just pray that as we go through this time, that those that are listening will be able to have a much better understanding of what we have done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that's on the process is we will start to provide you with some specific information about some of the elements of the search process. So we're going to ask you to hold your questions till the end, because then there'll be the question time when you can ask whatever questions, and that will, I think, make it easier for us to just make our presentations. And then there'll be ample time then. So I'm going to ask Pastor Gene to come forward first, because I believe he's going to tell us. Matt's first? Matt, please.
So I have the responsibility of talking through the job description and how we actually develop the job description. So, job description. So what is it? It's a description of what the person actually needs to be able to do. And who's responsible for actually developing this for West Church? And it came down to being a responsibility of the Board of Deacons here at West. And they did take a good bit of time to actually do this, but it was very fruitful time as we actually went through and developed this job description. So before Pastor Ralph actually left, we did have an opportunity to sit with him and go through with him his job description that he had from 1978, the associate pastor's job description, and just kind of have a little dialogue with him. And then we went through multiple rounds of review with the Board of Deacons, with the pulpit committee. So, but it really did come down to it was based off of the 1978 job description that we had. So with some additions. So we did a little market research where we went out and actually looked at job descriptions out in the marketplace right now and said, is there anything within those job descriptions that we thought were actually, you know, useful to have in our job description? And whatever we found, we actually put in there. So it wasn't the kitchen sink, but essentially we went through prayer and through a process of actually looking at that the positions and make sure that we actually had them all detailed out what we thought was important. So we're going to go through that in a minute, though. It was officially approved by the Board of Deacons in September 2017, and then right in time to be able to do the release of the job description out to the job posting that we actually started in October of 2017. So, all right, so the overview, what is actually in the job description? So this is actually the top of the job description, so it kind of gives you like an idea of, like, you know, specifically what a pastor actually is. So the senior pastor's role is primarily that of preaching and teaching the Word of God and shepherding the congregation and the church staff. His focus is to be on leading the congregation into spiritual maturity and equipping them together for the work of ministry as the body of Christ. And that comes out of Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. So we broke up the job description kind of into two main areas, right? One is primary responsibilities of the senior pastor, and the other area is the secondary or delegated or potentially delegated position job descriptions that they actually could fulfill. So the primary one is preaching, right, obviously, and then prayer, and that's focused on him praying for the congregation and promoting prayer within the congregation. Counseling, so he needs to be available to the congregants for counseling or outside counseling. The ministration of sacraments and special occasions, so like if you're going to get married is obviously a special occasion, or you're going to pass away, you're going to have a special occasion. The other thing, too, is like baptisms and those types of things. Those are really his primary responsibility. And then administration within the church, which says that he needs to be responsible for how the church actually physically runs within there. So that includes worship service, and it includes managing the staff and all of that. Secondary responsibility. So again, these are either direct by him responsible or delegated responsibilities that he can delegate to an associate pastor or a ministry leader or whatever. So missions leadership is really important here at West Church, so how we support our missions and how we actually oversaw that. Pastor Ralph was actually the head of the missions board. We now have a new head of the missions board, but his responsibility is to make sure that that is actually continuing. Evangelism, so he needs to be able to help us as a congregation reach out to the community, so, and he needs to be, you know, equipping us to do that. Teaching, so, you know, Pastor Ralph used to teach on Wednesday evenings. Our expectation is that he has a heart for teaching and that he can actually teach us whatever it is that the Lord wants us to learn. Worship leadership, so this is one where we thought, like, you know, if he's actually musically inclined, he could, you know, necessarily get up there and actually sing if he wanted to, or he could delegate that to somebody else who might have a better voice and could actually lead the worship leadership. And then ministry leadership development. This was one of the things that we talked about a good bit was how do we actually equip our own ministry leaders to actually be appropriate leaders within the congregation? So what are their roles as their ministry moves forward, right? And how do we make sure that that ministry is in line with the ministries that we have, the goals of West Congregational Church. So the ministry needs to honor Christ, and it needs to, you know, be in Scripture. So those are the primary responsibilities. Okay. The next section is the key competencies that we looked at. Yep.
So two questions that we struggled with. Would it be fair to ask your new pastor to do something if we never spelt it out before he got here? Would you take a job if you were in engineering or manufacturing and then all of a sudden you realize you're responsible for the sales force? Of course you would not. So the first thing we had to look at is saying what we put down, was this not only where the church was now, this profile was built in 1978, it had been updated by the deacons, it took 14 months, they did a fantastic job. But I raised the question, are there some other things that we're expecting this pastor to do, particularly outreach, casting vision, reaching younger families, developing leaders? And they said, of course, of course, of course. So I said two things. One, it'd be unfair if we didn't tell them ahead of time, right? That'd be a bait and switch. And then second of all, we need to figure out how do we predetermine whether this candidate has those competencies. So we have handouts which will get all of those, but that was my job and that's what I kind of brought to the table. So the rationale, the pulpit committee will focus on six areas that are necessary for candidate. We have put internal competencies and external. Some of the external are new, which I created with the pulpit committee, approved by the deacons, because we want to discover each candidate's demonstrated skill in six areas and discern the candidate's level of humility, teachability, and problem solving. Doesn't necessarily mean the person has to have it all when they come, but are they teachable? Are they humble? Are they wanting to learn? So here's the ones that we particularly looked at. These are called internal, and there were three of them. Core theology. West Church is not going to reinvent its theology with the next pastor, and the purpose of the pulpit committee and the deacons is to make sure that we stay spot on in terms of what we believe biblically. Second of all is sermon preparation. We wanted to make sure that the person is actually wrestling with the text, not just coming up with a topical idea or the latest on the news or the press or just a snappy idea. Do we wrestle with the text in a significant way that you understand that this is coming from the Bible? And not only does it come from the Bible, but does it connect with people's lives? There's got to be two ways. What does it say? What does it mean? And how does it apply? And then the other area would discipleship and empowerment. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, it's going to be the Great Commission at West Church and throughout the world. So we really focused on discipleship and the ability of giving ministry away. What we looked at this morning in the sermon is it's about him, it's not about us, but it's about us, it's not about me. So we really wanted somebody to look at the area of empowerment. This is what we considered internal pastoral competencies. And the second part were external leadership competencies. So this is really helping us look beyond ourselves. The first is missional strategy. We have that defined for you in your handout. It's basically helping us understand, as much as we have a mission to reach the world, do we have a mission to reach our neighborhood? Second of all, we looked at was the area of leading change. I've teased at it with you on Sunday morning. We don't want to change our core theology. We don't want to change the Bible. But we have a certain amount of patterns that have been set up, a certain amount of traditions, the way we do things. And we're asking a new pastor to take a serious look at them with a board of deacons and come back to us. Second of all, the transition team is actually going to be working on this as well, and we start our first meeting, when is that, Tuesday? Wednesday night. I could be there a day early. And then these two terms, they're also defined on your handout. How do we think about doing the church differently? So we have to, our system is perfectly designed to be getting the results that we're getting right now. I know that's an engineering phrase, but we have systems the way we think, systems the way we do things, and the way we're set things up right now is dealing with, we're going to continue to get what we're getting, and I can talk a lot more about that, which I won't right now. And then revitalization has to deal with spiritual dynamics. Richard Lovelace says the heart of spiritual dynamics are based on two words, faith and spirit. And so to what degree are we exercising faith? To what degree is the Spirit himself giving us empowerment to do the work that he's called us to do? Core theology, we want to see where this person stands on their basic beliefs and make sure there's nothing that is outside any pet doctrines. Sermon preparation, how does this pastor prepare the sermon, and how does they actually be able to connect with the congregation? The goal is to determine the candidate's style of leadership and pastoring. This morning I talked the difference about pastoring and shepherding. We looked at that. And missional strategy is to determine if the candidate has led an externally focused mission in the past. And if that person has done in the past, how might that person do it at West Church? So you can imagine the kind of questions that we had. And leading change. I say this, everyone's in favor of progress. It's just change we don't want. So is the change we're looking for to do something different, or is it something to be more fruitful and effective? And that would be the metrics that I would use. Reengineering to help clarify where we are spiritually. I said something to you this morning. Many of us haven't even heard each other's testimony. And there's such power in your story of Christ. And second of all, we hardly even know one another's spiritual gift. So I think it's really important that we get there. Did I make the time limit? I have more? Oh boy. Okay. Keep going. I'd like somebody else to do this. So spiritual influence is how we define pastoral leadership. And what we stayed with was key scriptures. So we wrestled with these scriptures. How does one have spiritual influence and recognize there's a difference between influence and control? Did you recognize that when you had kids? You've got to make a difference between influence and control. We want a pastor that has a lot of spiritual influence, but not one that's a micromanager. And those scriptures were key to understanding that. That's the Greek, the feeder, protector, which we looked at this morning. And it's also a protection. So we want somebody to protect doctrine and protect the sheep, but we also want someone to equip and empower the sheep simultaneously. Can be an officer, a manager. Pastors lead, direct, feed, equip, care, correct, instruct, and steward God's people. One of the key words there is steward. If we're going to steward all the gifts, that means we need to know what those gifts are. And there's a big difference between shepherding and pastoring. Pastor's uniqueness is clearly observed but not always understood. Pastors vary from one another based on their calling, spiritual gifting, background, denominational polity, and personality. And that's why I said to you this morning, your new pastor, I can guarantee, is going to be definitely different than your last pastor. And then you really need to discern, is this just, you know, is this the bandwidth that God gives us, or is there something that's really major? And then you have to take that to the Lord. Okay. And the difference between a shepherd and a pastor, I think we looked at this morning. One is helping a group move in a common direction, where a pastor is one who helps the individual. We want somebody that can work with the individual, but we want to make sure that we have a shepherd looking at the big picture. And I think here are some of the examples. I'll just say very quickly. There are people in the Bible that we look up as heroes. They were shepherds. They knew how to care for individual sheep, but they also knew how to care for the whole purpose of the people of God. And now we'll go to final evaluation.
I'm a little shorter. So I'm here to talk a little bit about how we came to our final decision of the man we are presenting as our senior pastor candidate. And part of our meeting since March, we have been developing, of 2016, a three-phase application process. And if you've been around here, you've sort of seen this graphic where we've talked about this three-phase process. And we opened up the three phases in October when we launched the search. And the it's a plan for us as we, in each phase, are digging a little bit deeper in our understanding of the different applicants. And after each phase, we were determining which applicants we were going to invite to the next phase. So we ended up with a lot of applicants in phase one who just sent in their information and their application. And then we had fewer applicants in phase two, and then even fewer in phase three, which is a good thing because there's a lot more material and stuff to do in each of these phases. So it was a decision that needed to be made. We posted this job description and the description of the phases on our website. We posted it on different seminary job boards. We posted it on the Gospel Coalition website, which is a like-minded organization of Christian pastors. We also gave you the opportunity, if you know of anyone, spread the word and point them to our website. So we got the word out, and we've gotten applicants from all different places. And next I'm going to talk a little bit about when it came time to make this decision, this verse really stood out to us from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path, your paths straight, something like that. The word that really stood out to me is acknowledge. And during this whole process, we've acknowledged our weaknesses, that we are not the all-knowing group of seven. Collectively, we do not have all the wisdom and all the understanding or all of the perspective, but the Lord does. And so during that time of through the phases and when we came to that process, we were able to acknowledge that, you know, God is all-wise and all-knowing. That God has a different perspective from a higher level, and God has that intimate knowledge of each of these applicants. And he has that broad understanding of who we are as a church, where we've been, and where he sees us in the future, because he is there in the future, because he is outside of time. So this was a really a comfort to us and our guiding principle as we're making that final decision, that we're looking for the Lord's leading to make this path straight for us. So we've gathered all of this material from the three phases, from multiple sources, from multiple formats, from multiple understandings, from questionnaires to interviews to listening to sermons. So all of this information. How do we process this all and make a decision? You know, how do we synthesize all of this down and sort of see who the Lord is leading us? So we came up with a tool, a final evaluation rubric. And we decided to look at four categories of information. We looked at the job description and we ascribed 50 points to the job description. Competencies, we looked at them, 60 points. Sermon evaluation, 40 points. And intangibles, we awarded them 50 points. So we had a possibility of 200 points. Neither candidate scored a perfect score of 200. That would be Jesus. He was not available at this time, that position. So he didn't apply, true. He didn't put his application in. Someone did note him as a reference, that if we needed to call someone for a reference, they did list Jesus Christ as their reference. He did not get very far, that applicant. Okay. So together, we looked at that, and we also were looking at this information individually, as we walk through all of the information that we had gathered, but also as a team, we had a lot of conversations. And we also had a lot of time of prayer, just asking the Lord to guide us in this information. So for each of these four categories, there were subcategories. For the job description, as Matt showed you, there were responsibilities. So each of those responsibilities, we had a point system. You could score from 1 to 5 on different sections. The one section that we did pull from the job description was sermon evaluation, and we put that in this section. So for sermon evaluation, we had the great gift of Dr. Jeff Arthurs, who has spoken here during our time of Pulpitville. He is also the preaching professor up at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. And he came and spoke to us and talked us through an evaluation form that he uses in his class to evaluate sermons. Because sermon evaluation is can be a subjective, like I like that sermon because it spoke to me. And for example, there could be a sermon given on Father's Day, that doesn't really affect me. I'm not a dad, I'm not a man. But was that a good sermon, even if it didn't speak to me personally? So we began to look at different categories, and we practiced a lot, listening to sermons online. And then with the applicants, we listened to a lot of sermons to learn how to evaluate. So each of those eight categories, you could score up to 5 points for a total in that. So we got down to a lot of questions also. For each of those four categories, we also wanted each of us to come forward if we had specific observations or concerns in a certain category, things that might have stirred our spirit, like, is this applicant need some help? Are they not gifted? Do they not have past experience? Is this a struggle for them? Are there growth areas or possible blind spots? So together we not only scored, but we had conversations around these. Sometimes Harry would remember something that I forgot, or Diane would remember something that I forgot, because there's a whole lot of information we're trying to synthesize. And so after this long process, we met all day on a Saturday. Then we met following 10 days later on a Monday night, and we now have a senior pastor candidate. And so the Lord led us through this evaluation, through our discussion, through prayer, to one individual. And Jim Peluso is going to come up and share a little bit about how this candidate meets the requirements.
Thanks, Kelly. I'm going to move this up a little bit so that I can see it without having to look down. Give me the one. There it is. Okay, so as is probably you understood from listening to Kelly just a minute or two ago, we had a lot of applicants. We had more than 20 applicants. And in going through these processes, some never made it past phase one, and they kept getting narrowed down till we finally got to the final phase. Once we did that, then we had to look at those candidates and see how they met our requirements. And so there were five areas that we were concerned about. The first one was theological preparation and doctrine. So with respect to that, we reviewed each of the final applicants' educational background. We looked at the schools they attended. We learned a lot about the churches where they were currently ministering to see what they were doing, what kind of experience they had, to see what kind of issues they had to struggle with. Both of candidates we looked at had issues, or at least were working through issues that involved church polity and government, something that I think we're going to have to deal with pretty soon. And so we listened to sermons from each of the candidates to go through all of this information that has been presented. And then we had face-to-face interviews with each one of them. And so throughout all of this process, we were able to determine what their theological preparation was. We listened to information they provided to us based on questions we had asked them before those meetings about their theological positions and their doctrine. And so this was really important because we wanted to determine if there were any beliefs that might not match those of West Church, or how the person would lead theologically and his ability to manage any conflicts in beliefs with others and with our own congregation. And so we had to go through that process to satisfy ourselves that this candidate was going to meet those requirements. The second thing we looked at were the exegetical gifts. And so after a comparison of the results of the prior and recent all-church survey, it became readily apparent that while some of the church goals identified in the earlier 1988 survey were also identified in the recent survey, such as reaching our local community as being very important, very little had been accomplished in the interim to achieve that goal. So this indicated that West needs someone with the gift of biblical exhortation that would have a heart for the community, provide biblical teaching to us to stimulate our growth in godliness, and motivate us to take action. Because remember, when the pastor comes, he's not going to do it all. It's just like any other spot where there's a leader, he tells the people to do things, and if they do it, it gets done, and if they don't do it, it doesn't get done. So we were really concerned about looking at this process. We examined how the applicant dealt with his sermon preparation, whether the sermon honored the truth of the biblical text. We sought a candidate who's a motivator, a teacher, an evangelist, a disciple maker, and a modeler of healthy evangelism, someone to show us how to and help us develop one or more methods to reach our community for Christ. We also sought a pastor who would help us develop a deeper understanding and growth in our personal relationship with God. The third thing that we looked at was leadership style. And in that regard, the applicant was examined to determine their current leadership skills as an indication of how they would lead in the future and how he would fit the West Church pace. We sought someone who would walk with us, not too far ahead of the congregation, but providing us with oversight and vision to help set our direction. There are many areas at West where stronger leadership is extremely important, especially now. We looked for a person who will model godliness, equip the saints at West for works of service, all starting in the pulpit, encouraging teamwork within the congregation, leading church revitalization, assisting with needed church polity revisions and leadership structure change, working well with a leadership team, and helping the congregation develop and use their spiritual gifts. We looked for a visionary, someone to help us develop, communicate a strategy for, and accomplish that vision, someone to help us establish a sense of urgency and create a coalition to produce meaningful change. We looked at the area of shepherding, which you've heard about a lot, especially this morning during the service. So we examined the shepherding qualities of the applicant, that is, his ability and calling to provide direction for a group of people to move in a common direction to fulfill God's purposes and priorities. It became very clear to us that shepherding is a calling, and so if the person wasn't called, it just really wasn't going to work. This was very important since the church often will take on the personality of the pastor, both good and bad. Being a pastor is one of the roles of a shepherd. It becomes very important to get to know the church members in order to intelligently pray for them regularly, care for them, including visiting them, counseling them, correcting them, protecting them from false doctrine, and leading them as a group and individually. It was clear from past performance that the candidate has this calling and was motivated to carry it out. Strategic missional. It's clear that we have a long way to go in reaching our community, the North Shore, and the world for Christ. The candidate must be a strategic leader who can be a diagnostician, be outgoing, able to attract and interact with newcomers. We need to develop a sense of urgency because the time is short. Our evaluation of the candidate helped us to review his past behavior as an indication of his future actions in this area. Part of our examination in this area was a review of his prior experience in the United States with a team of 11 people and mentored the leaders of missionary teams in Peru and England in addition to all of his pastoral experience. Also important was exploring the candidate's ongoing desire to continue to develop spiritually by reading and studying and just to continue to just increase in knowledge. And then lastly, and very important, was the call to the Boston area, the local church. Obviously, you can have a person who meets all of these requirements, but for some reason, they don't want to come here. So if they come here, they're not going to want to stay. So one of the things that we had to do was to provide information to the candidate about our community, and then we personally met with each candidate, showed them our community, actually showed them the parsonage, showed them the church building, so that when they come here, they know what's involved. And of course, we sent them a lot of information, so they now know a lot about all of you. So based on that, we were satisfied that this candidate is interested in coming to the Boston area and ministering here at West Church. So I've tried to just in this brief summary try to wrap up everything that's been shared already. And I hope that as a result of what we've done this morning, that you have a better perspective on where we are, what we've done, and where we're going. And I thank you all for your patience. I know it's been a long time. Thanks. So now we're all gonna come up front here. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to ask us any questions you have, although there probably shouldn't be any because we were so thorough. But.
Dave has a microphone.
And Dave has a microphone, so just look for the guy in blue with the microphone, and raise your hand, and he'll give you the microphone, and you can try to stump the stars, which you probably can do, but go ahead.
Does the new candidate have an accent?
I would say no. So you'll be able to understand them. That's important, too. Yes. Jane? Microphone? Thanks.
Did any of you go to his church and observe him functioning in his church?
Okay, so let me see if I can answer that, because no, we did not go to either of those churches. They weren't close, and so that made that difficult. However, what we did do is, with respect to one candidate, he came, and through our friends at the Four Seas denomination, they were able to help us provide a neutral pulpit in another church. So on one of the Sundays when you thought you had been abandoned by your pulpit committee, because they weren't here, we were in another church listening to one candidate speak. So we had a chance to evaluate him so that we didn't just listen to sermons, but we actually saw the person in action and saw the response from the congregation, who were people that didn't even know him, and that was very positive. And we have one other person who hasn't, for other reasons, because of his work at the church, hasn't been able to get free, but he is going to be speaking actually at a neutral pulpit next week. And so we will then be able to listen to him, but we have already listened to a lot of his sermons, and we really feel comfortable that there aren't going to be any issues that result from that. And so that's part of the reason why we're not having a candidating weekend until later in July. But we have made an attempt to do that so that we will feel absolutely 100% confident when we present a candidate to the church that we have spent a lot of time vetting these people, trying to dig as deeply as we possibly can with the time and information that we've gotten, so that we're doing what we think is providing with who the person the Lord's leading us to. So,
can I add something?
Absolutely.
Sure. So in addition, we spoke to the candidate's senior pastor. Right now he's serving in a church, and we had a lengthy conversation with his senior pastor, who he's currently serving under. And in addition, when we did a reference check, one of his references was a coworker who was on the pastoral staff also. So we also spoke to a member of their congregation as a reference check. So we have some good information. Even if we didn't visit the specific church he's from, we got input from staff and from members of the congregation there.
And the other thing I would add is, often when you're visiting somebody on site, it creates a lot of confusion, and you really can't do it clandestine.
Okay. Brian?
Are you at liberty to tell us what part of the country the candidate is coming from? You can't say anything except that he's not from the
Boston
area.
Yes, he's from the United States.
That answers the question about
you could say East Coast.
The question earlier. Yeah.
Hasn't been mentioned, but has he been ordained in any particular denomination?
The answer to that is yes, the candidate is ordained. That was one of the requirements
right. That
we had as part of our initial process. So if there were some people who actually had applied who had not been ordained but had been ministering for a long period of time, and those that hadn't had indicated a willingness to do so, either before they came, if that was necessary or whatever. But yes, this person is ordained and meets all of the qualifications that we had set up very well. Thank you.
Can you elaborate at all on the visionary aspect of this candidate? It, like, give us maybe some more specifics about that, or I don't know if you can do that or not.
But I can give you probably a little bit. In terms of a visionary, we obviously looked for someone who was going to have a clear vision for our community, for somebody who wanted to, in an evangelical way, reach our neighborhood and reach this New England, North Shore area for Christ. The candidate was a person who was very interested in doing that, is doing it where he is now. And of course, part of the questions that are kind of being asked now are really questions about the candidate. And there's going to be some, if you saw the Q&As, there are going to be a number of local meetings where people can go and actually get some specifics. We take the hood off so you see who it is, and get to know a little bit about them and their family and where they're from and, you know, what they hope to do here so that this isn't, you'll know a little bit more about the person. So when they come for the first time, you'll know who they are. It's not just, ooh, that person's a stranger. I wonder who that is. So that's all going to happen over several weeks. So we really didn't try to get at that so much today. What we were trying to help you do was to understand all of the work we've done that has made this take 27 months, so that you'd understand that it's been very, very, very thorough. We have tried as best we can. We honored the responsibility when we agreed to serve on this committee. We took that very, very seriously, and all of these people here have given up most of their Mondays for the last 28 months to meet with us, plus other days, all days on Saturday, several times to meet with candidates, to discuss, to evaluate, and we've worked together very well, but for all of us, it was a very, very serious undertaking. So we've tried really hard to do a good job. Yes, you certainly can.
When we had some serious discussions about what vision was, we kind of put it into three categories. One category was our church already had a strong vision, right? So that's one area of vision. And we'd bring in a pastor that maybe could align with that vision that we already had. The other part was a pastor that already had a vision and that he was going to bring that vision here to West Church, right? And the third was we don't have a vision. He doesn't necessarily have a vision quite yet, but we're going to work together as a congregation to actually create that vision. So, and one of the key aspects we looked at was, can he clearly articulate what that vision may be, right? So, and we think that he actually is an exhorter, so I think that he's going to be able to pull people together and say, hey, what is it that we think is most important here at West Church? How do we actually, you know, do that? And then he could actually cast that vision. So we do think that he's strong on that. Yeah.
My comment would be that he would be a visionary, a vision developer, not a visionary catalytic. So a team developer for sure. Second of all, he had a great skill to diagnose. He asked us questions about ourselves that were uncomfortable. And from the outside, he read the annual report, saw the meeting, saw the budget, and asked questions. And then he proved that he was strategic. So those were the areas. I don't think he would be a church planter where you just throw him out alone, but he's definitely a visionary developer.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really clear that when he came and met with us, we had given him a whole bunch of different things that we wanted him to be able to discuss, and he came with like 28 pages of typed stuff that showed he had spent an awful lot of time thinking about that stuff, digesting it in his mind, and putting it on paper. And in some of the cases, he said, like some of the theological things, this is really so important that I'm going to actually read it because I want to make sure that I don't say anything that might be confusing or that you might not interpret the right way. A very, very, very thoughtful person. Yes?
My question is more in regards to his personality. Are you able to tell if they're reserved, outgoing, relational, or cerebral? Like, what kind of person?
Well, he certainly is a thinker, okay? But in terms of his outgoingness, yes, he's very outgoing. He loves people. He likes to interact with people. And he actually works better with people that come alongside him that he can help develop, and so it becomes more of a team approach rather than just one person saying this is where we need to go. So that's really, to us, really important, so that as we start to build a leadership team that's going forward, then we're all going to want to get on board and just do things rather than just one person standing up and saying here's what needs to be done. And he loves to meet with people and to do things with people. And we were really encouraged about that, too. I think that's a strong point. Yes?
Has Rick had any interaction?
We're recording this, Brad, so please talk on the microphone.
Has Rick McDonald had any interaction? Maybe you can't say anything about that right now.
I can.
You can
say something
good
about that, yes. So it's a yes and no. I'll tell you the no first. The no is, up until this point, he hasn't really met with the candidate. But the candidate is coming up on this next weekend, and as part of what he's doing, he's going to actually meet with Gene and with Rick personally. I mean, he has some information, but now he's going to actually get a chance. They'll get a chance to meet and interact with one another so that they'll start to feel comfortable with that.
The only thing I would add was I felt we needed to be transparent about our own history, so we're going to be very forthright with that. They need to establish a relational connection of some sort of trust before he would actually come on site. And then third, I was real clear with Rick. He did not have either veto power or he was not there to vet the candidate. He would just be a member of the congregation, but we wanted to honor him because of his length of time and the important role that he serves, from including him in a kind of an extraordinarily special meeting and a very, very tight schedule. So,
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. In terms of the process, did this candidate go head and shoulders above the other one that you were considering in terms of his quote-unquote scoring, or what was it that caused you to focus in and say, this is the man? And has the other man been dismissed at this point, or how does the process deal with that?
Well, let me see what I can share with you about that. We basically went through the same process with two applicants to try and see if we could arrive at a final person. They were both extremely well qualified. When it got to the point of having to pick somebody, there weren't miles of difference between the two, but the committee felt that one person was better equipped to minister here than the other, which wasn't any kind of a negative for the second person. Wonderful person. I spoke personally with that person after the committee made its decision to let him know that he had not been selected. He took it very, very graciously and said, look, he considered us a friend. He had enjoyed going through the process. He thought he learned a lot. He thought we were doing an excellent job. And so we will hopefully continue to interact with that person from time to time, maybe, but not in this capacity. And the other fellow, we told that he had been selected and is now moving forward in the process. But they were both very qualified. Deneen?
So with all that said, is there anything, this guy sounds awesome. Is there anything that would keep him or you, I understand that the call isn't made until August. So is there something that would prevent him from actually taking the job, or that he could actually say, no, this doesn't look like a good fit for me? I mean, is there anything that can throw a monkey wrench in and make it stop? I just want to know.
Sure. The answer to that is yes. Okay, and I'll tell you what it is, basically. I mean, this is a person who now knows a lot about us, and we know a lot about him. And when I say we, I mean we as a committee. We're going to listen to that person next week, and we are fully confident that after we do that, that there's then already a weekend scheduled for him to come with his wife and his family and meet all of you. So if you're nice to him, and he gets to the, and he doesn't see something that says, oh my goodness, I'm not doing this. I mean, I think this, we've already talked to him. He knows a lot about the church. He just hasn't met all of you, which should be the clincher. I mean, he comes in and meets everybody, and then what happens? The next step is, unless he decides that he doesn't want to go forward after that, which I suppose he could, but assuming he won't, I think he'll just move forward. Then really the question is, what is the church going to do? There will be a meeting the following Saturday, on August 4th, in which you will have had an opportunity to have found out more about him at one of these informational sessions, and there are three of them, and you only have to go to one. It's the same information that's at all of them, so you don't feel that you have to go to all three of them. You will have an opportunity to meet him here at the church. You'll have an opportunity to see him in the service, to see him preach, maybe have an opportunity to see him teach, and get a chance to meet him and his family, and try to discern whether or not you see anything that says, uh-oh, which I don't think you will. I think the person's really very qualified. So it's up until then, until he gets the call, if he gets a call from the church, then there's really a question of whether he's going to say yes or no. But I would feel comfortable at this point that if the church says yes, after all he's been through, he's committed to come.
So if we don't freak him out when he comes, how soon would he, and the church voted yes, how soon would he be here?
Well, we haven't really closed that gap yet. But if I were going to kind of guess based on his circumstances, I would say probably within a couple of months, maybe sooner. Right up here for my buddy Marge.
I'm sure this has been discussed, and I meant his salary. Did you decide a salary, or has some other board decided a salary for him?
Okay, I can respond to that, I believe. It's not all about money, but what is important is we had, in a prior conversation that we had with the candidate, he had indicated that at another church that had called him, he didn't go because they didn't provide him with enough finances. They had apparently made some sort of a presentation, and then when he said he would come, they decided to decrease that amount, and which didn't make him feel comfortable for a number of reasons. So, but we knew what his kind of ballpark area was. The trustees were really terrific. As I'm on the board of the trustees, and so I was able to present to them the fact that we needed to have a financial package. They were willing to address that early, and so they then kind of commissioned the finance committee to do some research, which they did. They did a marvelous job. They came back with a proposal with a range of different numbers that could be made up of a bunch of different items, which included housing. This person is going to be looking for housing. So that's another great thing, because that means our church parsonage will actually get some more real-time use on a permanent basis. And so what's going to happen is after we meet with this candidate next Sunday, we will present to him a financial package for him to look at, and then we can have discussions about that. But I feel comfortable that what we're offering him is not something that's going to make him feel uncomfortable or unhappy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, Uncle Al. Yes, sir.
Is this on?
Yes. Yeah.
How many hours has the board spent? Did you calculate the number of hours?
No, but you could probably do that math, but I didn't really have spare time to do that. I just made a point of looking to see when our first meeting was, to just get a real feeling for, because you know what? The time flies, whether or not you're having fun when you're busy. And so we've just kind of gone through this process. It's been a lot of time. But we have all been committed, not only to this body, but to the Lord, because that was a commitment we made to him, that we signed a covenant. We agreed here in front of everyone that we would try to do what the Lord wanted for this church. And so we've just worked at it, whatever it took. And we have worked hard. I don't know what I'm going to do with all my extra time. Of course, I haven't got there yet. But
I just know we owe a tremendous thanks to this board for all the time they spent.
Thank you.
Was there anything about the parsonage or the church that came out during your meeting that we need to think about, or?
No, what happened at this point was when this candidate came up, he came up all by himself. His wife and family did not come with him. They had been doing a lot of traveling, and mom thought that was going to be too much wear and tear on the kids. So he came up alone. He did go to the parsonage alone. Next Saturday morning, he will be going through with his wife to kind of really get a feel for it, and after that we'll know. But I know that the trustees have already started working on making the place, spiffing it up a little bit, and maybe after she goes through, his wife may have some ideas of maybe some things that mean maybe some colors for painting or something. But it's in pretty good shape. So we've maintained it. The people who were there, the Pullens maintained it, did some work on it. So of course now they've cleaned up. It's now really Crystal Lake. Before it was a name only, it was like the Green Lagoon, but it's really nice now. So I think it's going to be fine.
Well, if we know the time of the visitation, we'll have chocolate chip cookies in the oven.
No, we're not going to do that.
No
hors d'oeuvres.
I just quickly did the math, and it's probably between 300 to 400 hours times 7. So you're talking about 2,000 to 3,000 hours.
Okay.
So thank you.
You need not worry. There will be no bill.
And remember, lawyers charge by the inch.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about his wife. I know when you take on a pastor who's married, there's a package deal there. And I'm quite curious. I've happened to know a lot of my friends have been pastors' wives over the years, and I'm just curious as to what you can tell us about her and even their family and perhaps her role in this.
Well, I really can't tell you much, because I'd be letting the cat out of the bag too soon. But what I can tell you is this, that we know information about his wife, and while she wasn't here, when he was here, we had a Skype meeting with her for over an hour on computer, so we actually saw her face-to-face, and then we took the computer and kind of scanned the room so she could see what the Motley Crue was she was talking to, And she asked us a lot of questions. He asked a lot of questions. It's really interesting to find out when you're interviewing somebody that you're kind of being interviewed as well.
You want to say something?
Which is kind of a sign that this person is really very seriously thinking about what's going on and evaluating to know what it is they want to do. She seemed like a lovely lady, and we're excited to get to meet her. And that's about all I can tell you right at the moment.
Ms. Fye, I would like to add something.
Yes, go ahead.
I can say something about his wife, and it was astounding to me. They've been praying about what God would have them to do, where God would be leading them, and before they applied, she said to her husband, "I feel God is leading us to the Boston area." I thought that was beneficial.
And I would add, both them as a couple, they're asking the question, would West Church be a good place to help them disciple their children? So I think they're serious about becoming part of a community that is serious about their family development, their children. So I think they're really going to want to see your hearts. Or, you know, when they're coming, they're not here just to see the parsonage and the salary. They want to know really what's our heart. So I think that's an important conversations that have to occur.
Yeah. And thanks, Vi, for just sharing that, because I think that is important. And, you know, there's so much information that we've received that you can't always remember to bring to the front when somebody asks a question all of the things that could be relevant. So we're kind of doing the best we can here on the cuff.
Just one little thing?
Certainly. Come on up.
When we had the face-to-face interview with this candidate, we also set up a Skype arrangement so that we could talk to his wife. We talked about that before. But as it was being set up, and as we could see the emotional reaction between he and his wife, and we were very much impressed by that, the feelings that they have for each other.
Yeah, there's a very real commitment here between this candidate and the bond with his wife and family. They are very, very important to him, and that's important to us, I think. That's a good sign. Diane, come on up. No, that's fine. That's why we're here.
Through the literature or the information that was provided to us, his wife has also has God-given gifts and talents that she very much wants to minister to the congregation as well, using those gifts and talents that God has blessed her with. So as we continue in the process, we're not there yet. So we continue to lean on God, lean on your prayers for us, and we are praying for you so that when the time comes for a vote, that we all feel confident that the person that we're calling is the person that God wants here. And I want you to know that they too have been praying, and we've been praying for their church, because this is affecting their church as well. And so praying for God's wisdom and guidance for West Church, for the candidate, and for the church that they're leaving, you know. So thank you so much for your prayers.
So I guess one other thing I can share with you that Matt's reminded me is that they have young, very young children, and the mother is very, very concerned about the children. And so that was one of the reasons why initially when he came up, they didn't come along because they'd just done a lot of traveling and it was kind of too wearing on the children. But she's a very good mother. They're very good parents. And if that's any indication of what's going to happen here, we are going to be indeed fortunate.
So you said the children are young?
Yes.
Because the parsonage is on a lake. Is there any kind of boundary between the lake? I mean, does it pose a problem for them to live near water? I'm just, from a parent's perspective.
I don't know the answer to that. I know that when the candidate was there, he took some pictures of things to show to her, so she knows it's there. They haven't raised any issue about that being an issue. I mean, but, you know, I don't know the answer to that.
I have a polity question. I'm sure that, that one of the things that we're going to be looking at as we go on is the question about the Constitution, and there are some issues, you know, we might want to look at the Constitution and propose any changes that we feel are necessary. Is he on board? Has it been discussed with the candidate so that he would be on board with any changes we might want to make? Has he read the Constitution? I guess he has.
Oh, yes, he's read the Constitution. And I believe he's quite interested in change. I mean, we quite frankly, when you look at the Constitution, it really doesn't give itself to a wide range of leadership. So, for example, when Ralph retired, there was a huge gap. That wouldn't happen if there were more people that were involved in a leadership position. He's actually been through, his church has been through that kind of a situation already, and so he was there during that process, so he's not a stranger to that either.
Can you tell us what kind of structure the church has now for leadership? Where is that?
Where he's coming? It's they have a board of elders.
Okay.
And the pastors are also elders, and so they really kind of deal with the spiritual leadership of the church. Are there other questions? Great.
So they want to pick up handouts. Handouts are available.
Okay, so there are handouts on the table if you're interested in some of the information Gene had presented. There's a job description, there's the competencies, and then there's one other there's the biblical basis there. So if you're interested in that and you haven't seen it, please take one. If they're gone, there's two sign-up sheets. If you leave your name, we'll make sure that you get one at no extra charge. I want to thank you all for coming. I hope this has been helpful to you. It's certainly been helpful to us, because as we've gone through this process getting ready for you, I think we're even more convinced that we're going in the right direction. So why don't we just take a minute and close in prayer, and then you can come on up if you'd like to get any of the materials that are here. Father, we are so thankful for your love for us, and we're so thankful for your guidance as we go through this process. We just pray that in all we do, Jesus Christ will be praised. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for pulling all this together.